Hey, you guys, we're talking about another movie today. This movie right here, I believe it first came to VOD back in fall of 2021, if I'm not mistaken. I had actually noticed it, first of all, probably like a month or two ago when I was scrolling through the horror movies on Hulu. And I kind of had it in the back of my mind because I was like, oh, that kind of looks interesting. I really liked like the graphic of the poster for it. I didn't really know all that much about what it was about or anything. But I kind of had it in the back of my mind for later. And then one of you guys in one of our live streams, like in the chat, recommended it to me. I can't remember who it was. But you recommended it, and I was like, oh yeah, that's on Hulu. I should probably watch that pretty soon. So I went ahead and put it on the docket. So this is a 2021 film called We Need to Do Something. Now, I will say from the outset, this movie, and I say this a lot, but in this case, I think it's particularly apropos. This movie is absolutely way better if you know, like, nothing about it. Because this movie actually, if you've seen the movie, there's one point in the movie where I literally, like, gasped out loud. You know what I mean? And, like, I got goosebumps and stuff. I was like, what? You know what I mean? So it was, like, really, like, this big shocking moment. And so I don't really want to spoil too much about where this is going. But I will have to kind of like describe some of the plot, obviously. But if you want to watch this movie, I just think it's better not knowing anything about it. And honestly, I guess like the guy that made it like thought that too, because even on Hulu, there is literally a bare bones like one sentence, you know, synopsis of what the movie is about, and that's it. It doesn't really give you much of a clue about where it's going to go, and I think that that is the way that you should approach this movie. Another thing I will add, I loved this. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was pretty ingenious, really. But I will say that it's not going to be for everyone. Now, without spoiling too much, two of the things that I think are going to be a point of contention, actually are a point of contention because I've seen some other reviews of this. One, know going in that other than a few flashback type sequences, this entire film takes place in one location, and that location is a bathroom. It's a pretty big bathroom, but it's a bathroom nonetheless. So it's basically four characters trapped in a bathroom for almost the entire movie, other than a few flashback sequences. Secondly, the movie, if you are the kind of person that has to have everything completely explained, or you want everything, if you don't like ambiguous endings or movies that don't show you the monster or the antagonist or something like this, then you probably will not like this, because this movie, like I said, while quite gory and quite surprising in the directions that it goes, it leaves some things to your imagination. I actually thought that that was one of its great strengths, and I don't even know. I kind of feel like, yes, it could have been done for budgetary constraints, because this is a very low-budget movie. But on the other hand, I think it really worked in its favor, as I said, because it leaves a lot of things to your imagination, which I tend to like usually. Because, you know, what you can imagine is like scarier than what you can actually see. So I think that worked out a lot better. This story, too, I kind of feel like if you go into it thinking that it's literal, I mean, yes, it's literal in the sense that it's a bunch of people trapped in a bathroom. And it's kind of like structured like a survival horror, but there's some other shit going on in there that makes me think that maybe this is meant to be taken not necessarily completely literally, but sort of metaphorically or symbolically. You don't have to take it that way. It's still good, even if you don't buy into that narrative. But I think it's a much richer experience if you look at it in the sense of a metaphor type of thing. And I know that some people kind of like roll their eyes at that. They just want like a straight ahead horror movie. This is a straight ahead horror movie. Don't, you know, it's not anything like that. But it definitely has a lot of subtext to it. If you want to look into that, there is a lot of symbolism and stuff like that, which I think really elevates the story. So this was made by a guy named Sean King O'Grady. Now, I think he'd done some documentaries and stuff prior to this and maybe some short films, but this is his first feature film. Now, everybody in this, is kind of like all four of the main characters are pretty much like a horror stalwart. They've been in like lots and lots of horror movies, except for the kid, but even he has some horror shit on his resume. So the mom, whose name is Diane, is played by Vanessa Shaw. I recognized her from Come Out and Play, which I think was a remake of that Spanish film, that Spanish giallo film. She was in 310 to Yuma. She was in the Hills Have Eyes remake. She was in Eyes Wide Shut. She played Domino. And I didn't realize this until today when I was looking at her IMDb. She got her start as the little girl in Hocus Pocus, which... Or no, she was the older... No, that's right. She was the older daughter that, like, the guy had a crush on. That's right, yeah. So she was in Hocus Pocus. That might have been her first movie. For a second, I thought it was the little girl, and it blew my mind. I was like, no. She was, like, the older girl. But yeah, she was in Hocus Pocus. So she plays the mom. Also, Pat Healy plays the dad, Robert. Pat Healy has been in a million movies. A lot of horror, but a lot of other stuff, too. I recognized him from several horror movies. The Innkeepers, the Ty West movie, he was in that. He was in that great movie Compliance, which was based on that fucked up true story about that weird thing that happened in a McDonald's. I think we did a show about it. He was in Cheap Thrills, which is also great if you haven't seen that. Starry Eyes, which is amazing. I think that was from 2014. Tales of Halloween, he's been in like a ton of other shit. The teenage daughter, Melissa, is played by Sierra McCormick, who is quite young, but it seems like she's kind of becoming like a kind of the go-to girl for like horror, sci-fi, thriller, stuff like that. She was in VFW. She was great in that. She was in The Vast of Night. So it seems like she's really going places and she's really amazing in this. And the little boy, the little son, is played by John James Cronin, who was actually on the Nosferatu TV series. So all four of these, like I said, have a lot of horror stuff on their resume. This story was actually based on a 2020 novella written by Max Booth III. So what you have at the very beginning, there's this family, obviously, the mom, the dad, the teenage daughter, and the little son. And there's a really, really bad storm coming. So all of them are going to kind of close themselves off into this big bathroom that they have, which only has like one entrance from the house, and it doesn't have any windows. It just has some kind of strips of glass blocks and stuff like that, and it's kind of reinforced. So they feel like they're going to go in here and like sit out the storm, you know, just in case. So they all kind of go in there. Now, from the moment that the family arrives in here, you get a sense of what the dynamic of this family is, which is very, very, very dysfunctional. And you find out later, like, why the dad is, like, acting the way he is, because pretty much as soon as they get in there, the dad is really, really aggro. Like, maybe, like, more than he should be. Later on, you kind of find out, like, what the reason for that is. One, he's an alcoholic, which they kind of establish, like, as the story goes on. But it also turns out that, like, right before the storm was going to hit and right before they had to close themselves off in this bathroom, he found out some information about his wife. So he's still kind of processing that, and he's not taking it all too well. So they're all in this bathroom. They're waiting out the storm. There's this horrible noise outside. It almost kind of says the power goes out, and it kind of sounds like maybe a tornado or something like that. There's a big, huge crack. And so the dad like kind of gets the door open like a crack, like not big enough to get out of or anything like that. And he kind of shines a cell phone out there like to see. And he's like, basically a tree has fallen into the house, like a massive oak tree has fallen into the house and is completely blocking the door. So there's no way they're going to be able to get out. So now they're kind of all trapped in this bathroom. Now, from this point forward, it seems as though there's not really much of a way for them to get out of there. But as you would, they kind of like their cell phones aren't working. I think the dad like drops the daughter's cell phone and she's like really pissed off about it. And then the other ones are dead. It seems kind of like strange. And even from the beginning, you're thinking, well, the daughter is kind of thinking there's something like the storm that wasn't like a regular storm. There's like not, it's, there's something like not right about it. But obviously, you know, the dad's like, why are you being so stupid? I mean, the dad is like really, He's really like a piece of work in this. He's just like a raging, like manic, aggro, just dickhead the whole entire time. And it's just, he never, I don't think he says like a single kind or understanding word to like anybody in this fucking movie. Like the whole time he's kind of like, I guess he goes in there and he has like a thermos like full of booze and he drinks all of that. And then like the longer they're stuck in there, he starts like drinking the mouthwash and he's like, you know, eating the, the alcohol wipes and shit like that. So it's bad. It's bad news. And so he's just getting like more and more angry as the time, because he's frustrated and he can't get out and he can't solve the problem and he doesn't understand like why something this simple like ended up like this. So he just gets like more and more crazy like as the movie goes on. So they kind of figure, as you would, it's just a storm. They fake a tree fell on the house, they can't get out of the bathroom. So then they figure, well, once we'll just sleep in here, and then once the morning comes, you know, our neighbors will see something, somebody will like come around and, you know, we'll get out of here, or we'll be able to like get phone signal or something, we can call somebody. But weirdly, that's not really what happens. The strange thing is that it almost kind of seems like their phones don't come back on. The sun comes up, but they can sort of see like out of a crack in the door, but they don't see anybody outside. They don't hear anything outside, and nobody, they have neighbors, but like nobody seems to be coming and checking on them. And so they start to think this is really, really weird. So as I said, like the dad is just like flipping his shit and he's just getting more and more frustrated. He's just doing all these stupid things like trying to get out, which aren't working. Like I said, he's just like ramming into the door. And at one point he tries to push the kid's head through the crack and it's not going to fit. And it's just like all this crazy shit that he's doing because he's just so frustrated that he can't get out. The mom is kind of trying to keep everybody calm, but being kind of like bullshitty about, oh, everything's going to be okay. And, you know, she doesn't want to talk about like the fight that her and her husband were having like right before they went into the bathroom. So the kids are like, what the fuck is going on with you guys? Why are you acting like this? She's kind of being a little bit like cagey, dishonest and stuff like that, but in service of like trying to keep everybody calm and, you know, especially in the face of the dad, like just flipping the fuck out. And again, as the time goes on, you start to, the main character really, even though I've kind of focused more on like the mom and dad, the main character really is the teenage daughter, Melissa. As I said, even from the beginning, when the storm first started, Melissa seemed really unsettled, thinking this isn't like a regular storm, this is something else. And really the only person's like inner thoughts you get, or flashbacks or memories you get, are hers. Now, as the story goes on and you have like kind of all these flashbacks that she's kind of going into, and like I said, I don't want to spoil too much about this because I think this is just so much better if you go into it like not knowing what's going to happen. But you get some flashbacks of her and her like kind of meeting her girlfriend and some stuff that they did that makes Melissa think that she's responsible for everything that happened, like her parents getting, but her whole family getting like trapped in this bathroom and like the storm outside. She kind of starts to think that she's responsible for it. And that's kind of as much as I could say about it, because after that, like, it's just going to go in a whole other direction. And like I said, I don't really want to spoil it. So as I said, when I was like watching this movie, as I said, it starts out as kind of like just like a straight up survival, people trapped in one location. And it's like, how are they going to get out? Maybe there's some bad shit going on outside. And, you know, and there's also a really, really bad like familial tensions between all of them. Like the dad is just getting drunker and drunker and like losing his shit and getting frustrated and like just taking it out on everybody else. So there's all this like tension inside, and then, you know, it's just getting exacerbated because the situation's just getting worse and worse, especially after the storm goes and nobody comes to help them and they can't really seem to find a way out of the situation by themselves. So you have that going on. But then at one point in the movie, like I said, there's one point in the movie, and if you've seen the movie, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. There's one point in the movie where this thing happens, and I was just kind of like, fuck me. I was like, holy shit. It like scared the crap out of me, really. It's like, it really like made my mouth drop open. And from then on, it kind of goes in a much weirder direction. Like I said, where it's almost, it can almost be read, even though it is rather, it's grounded in reality. It's not like surreal or anything like that, really. There are some surreal aspects to it in the sense of you seeing a few things like Melissa's dreams or visions or memories or something. Some of those get a little weird and like surreal, but also have like symbolic meaning. But other than that, it's pretty rooted in reality. It, like I said, it kind of goes in a direction where you could read it almost like an allegory, but it's still sort of grounded in reality, if that makes any sense. So, as I said, if you're not a big fan of just kind of movies entirely set in one location, like a bunch of characters trapped in one location, squabbling with each other, and then there's something going on outside that you're not really sure what it is, then maybe you might not dig it. And like I said, if you don't like real ambiguous stuff or stuff that doesn't give you all the answers in the sense of ending without like showing you exactly what was going on, then this might piss you off as well. But as I said, I really liked... I mean, I thought this was one of the best low-budget films, and the use of just one location and the use of just leaving things to the, you know, the watcher's, like, imagination, I think this was one of the best examples of that that I've seen in recent times. Like, I just thought this was so great, because, and it took, like, all these twists and turns that I absolutely was not expecting, and... I don't know. It was just so, so great. And like all the acting, like the interaction between the families. I mean, that even when weird shit wasn't going on, like outside or whatever, outside of the bathroom, the tensions between this family were just like kind of had me on the edge of my seat. I will say, too, that there's some pretty, if you're not super into gore, this has some pretty gory shit happening in it, and some pretty bleak shit happens in this, too. And there's like a couple scenes that were like pretty kind of gross. So... you know, it's gross in the sense where I was just kind of like, I'm grossed out by people like eating gross things and stuff like that. So there was a little bit of that. But if it's pretty gory, though, I'm just going to say. And it's pretty violent. But so if any of that sounds good, definitely watch it. Like I said, I know this is like, it's really, really hard for me to like do a discussion of it farther than that, because I do kind of feel like this is really, really a movie that you need to not know that much about going into it, or... it's just gonna, I don't think it's gonna ruin it, but I think it'll definitely like lessen some of its impact. This is one too that I definitely want to give a second watch to one of these days, because I kind of feel like there was a lot of, like I said, allegorical stuff going on in there that you would probably need. Like, I picked up on a lot of the stuff, but you'd probably need like a second watch to pick up on every single thing that was going on in it. But yeah, I mean, I can't remember who it was that recommended this to me, but thank you for recommending it, because I really, really dug this one quite a bit. You can probably rent it on, I imagine you could probably rent it on Amazon Prime or something like that. I have Hulu, so I watched it on there for free. So if you have that, it's on there, at least as of this recording. And like I said, I kind of saw some reviewers that said that it was like a slow burn. I didn't really find it slow, like I said, because... I mean, I don't know. It depends on what you would consider a slow burn, because, yeah, it's just four people trapped in a bathroom. But like I said, the tension between the characters was so high that every single interaction was just kind of like laced with, you know, you weren't really entirely sure how the shit was going to go. Like, especially the dad, because he was obviously like going way the fuck off his rocker. So you didn't know if he was going to flip out and like start killing everybody or something, because he seemed like to get more and more unstable. So it kind of seemed like... you know, even when it was just the four of them and there wasn't like weird shit going on outside necessarily, you were still kind of like perched on the edge of your seat thinking like some bad shit was going to explode, like just within the family unit. So I think it did a good job of like balancing, you know, the inside horror and the outside horror. And they almost kind of like reflected each other, like I said, in a metaphorical sort of way. And I know I've kind of like talked around it a lot, but as I said, it's kind of better going into it not really knowing that much about it. So if you've seen it, let me know what you thought about it, and let me know if you know that scene, that thing that happened, if you know what I'm talking about, where my mouth dropped out and I gasped, because I saw some other reviews too that said the same exact thing, that exact moment had made them go like, you know what I mean? And I was just like, yeah, that's exactly what happened when I watched it. I was like, fuck me. I was like, I just did not see that coming, like by any stretch of the imagination. But yeah, so let me know if you've seen it, what you thought about it in the comments, or if you want to see it, You know, let me know if you, if it sounds interesting to you or something like that. Or, you know, let me know if you hated it. Maybe you hated it. I don't really know. I saw some people did. A lot of people seemed like they didn't like they liked the setup and the concept, but a lot of people were kind of disappointed by the ending. I can see that, but like I said, that's why I was giving that caveat that if you don't like endings that are kind of left ambiguous, then maybe this isn't for you. But like I said, I didn't mind that. I didn't mind it left to the imagination. I don't know. I just thought it was like a really, really great low budget film. And I'm curious as to what everybody else out there thought about it. So let me know in the comments. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.